Grace, mercy, and peace be to you in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, brothers and sisters in Christ, it's a biological fact that everyone who has ever walked on earth, minus Adam and Eve, was born of the flesh. Most often, the birth of a child comes about because a husband and wife are blessed with the ability to be fruitful and multiply. And so a child is naturally born through the union of a husband and a wife. We know, too, that a little child is born into a family. They don't exist in a bubble, and they don't exist in isolation. They have people around them all the time. It's a biological fact that when you are born into a family, and you don't get to choose which family you're born into. You don't get to pick out your mom or your dad, your grandparents, your aunts, your uncles, your lineage. You are simply and naturally born into a family. And the family plays an important role in shaping the identity of a child. Well, sometimes that's for the good, sometimes not so much. Maybe some of you have had this experience. If you're a younger sibling, you had an older brother or an older sister who was a troublemaker that couldn't stay out of mischief in school. And when you finally get to the same school, you have the same teachers who your older sibling had. And on the first day of class, as the teacher is taking attendance, when it comes to your family name, the teacher looks up and says, "Oh, well, you're not so-and-so's younger brother or sister, are you?" Well, boy, you know, that's a family reputation that's preceded you. Younger siblings have to live in the shadow of the older sibling, and sometimes that's not always a good thing. See, the thing is, you don't get to choose the family you're born into. Now, much worse than having an older brother or sister who is a troublemaker in school is having a great-grandparent who is the one through whom sin enters into the world. See, it's not so much that you're so-and-so's brother or sister. We are by nature, by biological fact, the offspring of Adam and Eve. And as such, we've been born into a world of sin and death. We've been born into a world where families are torn apart, where husbands don't love their wives as they should, where wives don't respect their husbands, where children don't honor their parents, and where some parents don't even want their children. This is what being born into the family of Adam and Eve gets you. And I tell you, I didn't choose to be born into this family, and yet here we are. Though I've got to say, there are some examples where the family reputation was good. I can remember as a child visiting my grandparents, and we would go to this little restaurant called the Charcoal Inn because it had the best hamburgers in the area. And I was always impressed, whether we go to the Charcoal Inn or we'd go to to McDonald's, anytime my grandparents went into a restaurant, it seemed like half the people there knew them. And I can remember the times when I was introduced to one of my grandparents' acquaintances, and they would say something good about my grandparents. My grandpa, he's such a hard worker, or he does so many things. Your grandma, she's such a caring person. The thing that I wanted more than a cheeseburger when we go to these places was for someone to say those words about me someday. I got to tell you, the experiences of the family shape the identity of the family. It's natural to hear conversations concerning the family that you're born into, for the conversations are ultimately about identity. They're about who you are. And who you are is formed in relation to the family that you're born into. There's a conversation that was happening long ago, late at night, between Jesus and a Pharisee, one of the ruling class of the Jews, named Nicodemus. It was a conversation about identity and about birth. Only the birth that Jesus was talking about was a bit different from what Nicodemus was familiar with. Now, Nicodemus had seen that Jesus was different. there was something going on with Jesus that was much different than what he had seen before. He had seen his signs and miracles, and he had rightly concluded, excuse me, that God was with Jesus, and so he was curious. Was Jesus the one to bring about the reign and the rule of God? If so, how could one come into that kingdom? How could one come into that royal family and be part of this? Well, Jesus, knowing what was on the mind of Nicodemus, took what was very familiar in the natural world, a biological fact, and used it to reveal a spiritual reality. And Jesus said to Nicodemus, for one to see the kingdom of God, one must be born again, or one must be born from above. One must be born not of a natural way, but from God. Being born from above is the only way to come into this royal family. It is the way by which you see the kingdom of God. But it seemed to confuse Nicodemus. I mean, Nicodemus knew about natural birth or the first birth. He knew about being born of from the womb of your mother, and that brought you into the family. He knew that birth into an earthly family was birth into a world and a family of sin. And he knew that in these families there were deaths. He knew God's promise to those under the curse of sin and death to bring about the rule and the reign of the kingdom of God, but where would it come from? And so Jesus takes Nicodemus, who is in the dark, and sheds some light in the midst of a late-night conversation concerning the rule and the reign of God. Jesus says to him, Amen, amen. Unless one is born from above, one cannot see the kingdom of God. Unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. The birth from above is from outside. Just as you had no choice in being born into your natural family, you have no power of choice to be born into the kingdom of God. Your birth into God's kingdom has to come through the one whom God is with. It needs to come from the Word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Your birth that comes from above comes from the one that John testifies to when he says, we have seen his glory, glory as the only Son of the Father, full of grace and truth. This birth comes only through faith in Jesus the Christ. Your birth from above comes as a result of Christ Jesus being proclaimed for you. This is why John testifies, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, who were born not of blood, nor of the flesh, of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. Now, those who want to see or who come into the kingdom of God must be born of the water and Spirit. They must come through the baptismal waters to Jesus' death and his resurrection. It's in Jesus that the kingdom of God, the rule and the reign of God, breaks into this world that's affected by sin and death. Jesus intervenes and breaks what we call the natural and biological experience of death. Brothers and sisters in Christ, make no mistake about it, death is not natural. It's not part of what God has created good. Jesus was born into our world of sin and death, a child who was born by the womb of the Virgin Mary. He is like us in every way, yet he was conceived from the Spirit, born from above. He is fully and truly man, born into the family of our humanity, and yet without sin. He died, was lifted high on the cross, and the final sign in his ministry, and the sign of salvation for the whole world, which he loves. He died for you and for me. And yet he lives, never to die again. His empty tomb is the sign that the curse of sin and death and the rule of the devil has been broken. This is what you were born into, as each of you were baptized into Christ. This is who you were baptized into. You have been born from above, not at your choosing, but by the grace of God. Now you have a new family, a new identity, filled with thousands of brothers and sisters. And Jesus Christ, He is the firstborn from the dead. He is your big brother. And you're called by His name. Our identity is in relation to the family that we have been born into, and we live in light of that identity. So the conversation's not your so-and-so's brother or sister. You are a child of the Heavenly Father because Christ Jesus has given you new birth from above by water and the Spirit. You know, I can remember back, well, either at Charcoal Inn or at McDonald's, we'd go to either of those places. There were times where we'd be sitting, and my brother and my cousins and I, we'd be messing around as kids usually would do, and we'd make rockets or spitballs out of the straw wrappers, and we'd shoot them at one another, and 9 times out of 10, our aim was not so good, and it would go and hit someone at the table sitting next to us. It's kind of the way it went. My grandparents were never amused by this, of course. My grandmother would be the one who would kind of put her foot down and say, "Stop it, you're embarrassing us." And my grandpa, who was always just this stoic German man, would just look at us with this scowling face of disapproval. And you knew that when he gave you that look, you had messed up bad. And so then, of course, my brother, my cousins, and I, we'd stop at least for a moment. We'd hang our head in shame, knowing that we had brought an embarrassment to the family, until some time where we'd kind of look up, and my grandpa would be looking at us with a smile on his face again. Right? This, of course, would only come after we would say, "I'm sorry," and we'd sit down and kind of ask for forgiveness. You know, those experiences remind me of, you know, life in our family together here as the children of God. So often we mess around with things that we shouldn't be doing. So often we do things that drag Christ's name through the mud. We gossip about others, we see needs that our neighbors have and we don't do things about them. We shortchange ourselves from being involved with the ministry of Christ lifted up because of our giving, of our time, our talent, our treasures, whatever it may be. We often dwell on insignificant differences. We're not willing to forgive others in love. You know, when those things come, it ought to leave us with our head down, but only to have it lifted up again. After we've confessed our sin, to see the one who is lifted up for you, for us. When we're troubled by our sin, to look up and see the cross of Christ and to find His forgiveness, to see His empty tomb, to hear words of absolution declaring us to be forgiven and dearly loved, to eat for the meal of forgiveness from the table of His very body and blood, and to have our face lifted up to find reassurance that we're His, that we're dearly loved and forgiven. Go back to the beginning. Go back to Jesus. Go back to your baptism into Christ. Remember who you are and whose you are. You're a child of the Heavenly Father by faith in Christ Jesus, your brother, born through the water and the Spirit. You, dear brothers and sisters in Christ, you've been born from above. Thanks be to God. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, guard our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, our Lord and our God. Amen.